Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. It's been a while. I don't think we've been on air since last semester. Is that right, Kurtic?
Yeah, I've been to Louisville and Nashville more recently than I've done a Tool Shed episode.
How were both of those trips?
Fantastic.
Temple here. I don't know why I looked at Alex and said Kurtic for whatever reason, but Temple, is it great to be back as well?
Oh, it's great to be back.
I mean, we got a lot to talk about. You know, the team has started to struggle. They're now tied for first in the NEC. They got obviously a tough schedule ahead. Rec Center. We're going to talk about the Rec Center again because we have to talk about it each week because that has been one of the storylines. Just playing at, you know, a recreation center. Kobe Thomas. I don't think we've done an episode in which he hasn't had a role on the team, but currently right now he has not played since the game before Louisville. I'm trying to think off the top of my head who it was, but since the Louisville game, he has not played. So that was back
the Rider game.
Rider. So that was back in mid-December. Matty McConnell has adjusted to a new role with the team, and I think he's at least this role is much better suited for him. I don't know if you guys agree with that with me, but I personally think it's a much better role suited for him in terms of not having to be the main guy on the team, but still a very key player on the team. Josh and John Williams, of course, and Malik Pledaway. Very strong player this year, very tough player, and he's been part of their social media campaign, so we're going to talk about that as well. But why don't we just get started into, first of all, welcome back to the Tool Sheds. Logan Carney here with Matt Kurtic and Alex Temple. So, guys, you know, the team is, you know, before we start, or mid-January, they were three games in first place in the NEC. We were looking at, okay, and, you know, some conversations, at least on other shows that I've been a part, have been, well, which team is better, the women's team, the men's team, which team's more likely to win the conference? The women's team's 11-0. They're doing great. The men's team, though, 8-4 now, tied for first in the NEC. So, Kurtic, what are your thoughts on just, you know, the team's been struggling? And do you think that the team wasn't as good as they were in the first half? Or do you think it's just, you know, the NEC's kind of balance and this should have been expected?
Well, you look after the Louisville win, or the loss at Louisville that you and I went to cover the game, they won 8 of 9 games. Their only loss being the LIU Brooklyn, but they've lost 3 of the last 4. And Andy Toole said it best. He said it earlier in the year. He said all the NEC teams are pretty similar. You don't really find too many teams that are a lot better than any other team, two teams that are worse than too many. Of course, you're going to have probably the best team and the worst team. That's going to be pretty clear. But every team in between is going to be pretty similar. And it shows in the standings. Two teams that are 8-4, two teams that are 7-5, two teams that are 6-6, three teams that are 5-7, and then Mount St. Mary's down there at 3-9. But it's going to be a tough conference this year. It's not going to be a walk in the park. I think the Colonials thought it. I think the fans thought it was going to be a walk in the park this year. And I think losing 3 of the last 4 kind of brings everybody back to life.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's a little bit of both. Every competition in the NEC is tight, but also I think the play has been rather inconsistent recently. It just seems like at times they're really bringing it on the defensive end, and then some games they don't. Like, they give up 97 to Fairleigh Dickinson. I know that's in double overtime, but then just two games before that, they give up 51 to Wagner, and I feel like this team's really focused on defense, but they're not always bringing the effort sometimes as of late, and I think that's cost them some games.
Yeah, I agree. And you looked at the Central Connecticut State game. They gave up 77 points, and they lost that game. I think they keep the other team under 70. I think they have a really good shot of winning.
I mean, defensively this year, you know, looking at some of the guys, I mean, you guys know I'm the big stat guy over here with his Ken Paul, but his big. But, I mean, looking defensively, specifically two players jump out. Of course, RMU, especially for that first half of the NEC, were killing it defensively. One of the best in the NEC since Dan Hurley coached in the NEC. So years and years and years ago.
Throwing around Dan Hurley.
I mean, but, you know, taking back, you know, looking at the block percentage for Malik Pettaway, 81st in the entire country. His steal percentage, 70th. McConnell, 72nd in steal percentage. Those two players defensively, a big reason as to why. Of course, Savon McEwen, also very good defensively. His steal percentage, 2.6. It's only about one below, which, in case for those of you at home that don't know what that is, that means on 100 possessions, he will get 2.6 steals. So that's, which is pretty high, obviously, since McConnell was 72nd with 3.5. So just talk about the team defensively, is that the key moving forward? I mean, you look back at some of these other games, you know, they've struggled offensively in a lot of them. Only 68 points against Central Connecticut. You go back, that was, you know, after at least three decent games. But offensive, do you think the team needs to improve offensively? Do you think that they just need to get back to playing the hard defensive basketball that they did in the first half of the year?
I think you know, Temple.
I was just going to say, I think this team is built on defense. I don't think they have really any offensive superstars. Tool incorporates a high-energy, on-the-ball strategy. Doesn't want teams to have much room, be able to get into the paint, anything like that. And I think that's where his main focus is. On the offensive end, it's just trying to get the best shot possible. But really, defensively, this team needs to bring the energy in order to get stops to create offense for them. I think that's what they really need to focus on.
Yeah, and their offensive efficiency rating, which is how many points per 100 possessions, 94.5, 319th in the entire country. They're defensively, though, they're 135th, which for an NEC team, I mean, that's, you know, pretty good. So, Curtic, again, just what are your thoughts on the teams from, you know, the size of the ball?
I mean, defense, like Temple has been saying, Andy Tool's teams are built on defense, and you see it year in and year out, regardless of how much the offense is struggling. Unfortunately, you know, the last 3 years or so, the offense had been the struggling key, and I think this year you have Josh Williams in there, and Matty McConnell has a new role that we were talking about, and Malik Petaway, who are all, you know, contributing on offense, and that's what's getting you 8 conference wins so far. You know, Josh Williams is a guy who's had 200, you know, three-point attempts, so that's a lot so far, and I think they're going to continue doing that as long as they're playing great defense. And like I said, typically when they hold the other team under 70 points, they're going to win.
Let's talk about some of the playmakers on the team, especially, you know, first half of the year was Josh Williams is going to be the guy, and then lately it's been Malik Petaway who's been the guy. So at least since conference season started, Matty McConnell's had some big games. So, you know, talking about, you know, playmaker wise who on this team do you think needs to step up for them to win? And who, you know, Temple, I'll start with you. Who on the team do you think needs to step up? And just, do you think that they're doing it? I mean, who's the key player on this team?
I think they need to see one of the bench players take a larger role. For example, Dante Tracy, I think he's really stepped up recently. He's starting to gain confidence, knock down shots. I'd like to see him establish more of a role as a playmaker, but I think Dante Tracy could definitely step up as like a prominent bench player for the team.
Dante Tracy, that was an interesting one. I didn't expect you to throw out Dante Tracy. I was gonna expect somebody like.
No, I think as of late, Chris Coleman has had a pretty big role with this team. I mean, he hasn't shot the ball from downtown too much, only 13 attempts, but has made 7 of them, and he's shooting 59% from the field. I think he's one of those guys that I think he's getting increased minutes as Kobe Thomas isn't playing anymore. For whatever reason, he isn't. You know, the team has whatever strategy they have as to why he's not playing, whether or not he's hurt or not. But Chris Coleman has definitely filled in that role, and I think he will continue to move forward as one of the, you know, stronger offensive players to help this team.
Chris Coleman getting 35% of possessions. RMU, you know, using a lot of very, very, very deep bench. All the way stretching from, you know, obviously Petaway, you know, plays a lot. He doesn't even start for them, but he still gives significant minutes. If there was a Sixth Man of the Year awards in the NCAA, I obviously can't think if there's one on the top of my head, but that's one of the guys that you would go to.
Yeah, I mean, Malik doesn't start, but he gets more minutes than everybody. So he doesn't have the most on the team by any means, but he's getting two minutes more a game than Mendy is getting. So he's not starting, but he pretty much is at this point.
Yes, and some of the other players, of course, you mentioned Giannis Mendy, a starter, but Cameron Wilbon, Savon McEwen, Dante Tracy, Chris Coleman, very, very deep bench for that team. But, of course, the absence on that bench is Kobe Thomas, somebody who was being heavily used up until the Louisville game and since then for a bunch of different reasons that we've been told, from coach's decision to concussion to an illness, he has not played. So, Temple, how do you think the team has adjusted without Kobe Thomas?
I think the team has adjusted well without him. I think everyone on this team kind of understands their role at the moment, although they have been struggling recently. It seems like other players have really stepped up and just done what they had to do in their role to get the team wins. And I think they haven't really lost any steps without him.
Yeah, of course he brings something to the team in terms of athletically. I mean, he was a three-star recruit for a reason. He's a great basketball player, but maybe, like you said, it's probably a strategy. I mean, sometimes people's play styles don't fit in with the other players on the team. And if you realize that that's the case, then it might be better not to have him play, regardless of what the reason is.
The team has what are you guys smiling out over there? The music? Yeah, we'll play music in the background. It lightens up the mood.
Okay.
We're trying things new in the Total Shed. It's our first one of 2019. We're gonna see how it sounds better. Just trust me.
All right.
I trust you on this.
We should go into something else, Loden. So this year, and we talked about it before, you were absolutely wrong when we talked about it earlier this year, when we talked about the Colonials playing in the Rett Center this year. You said that was a terrible idea. They should be playing in a high school gym.
You said that too.
No, I didn't. I've never been for a high school gym. I was always for the Rett Center. It's on campus. And you said Moon High School is just as close. And
I'd like to see the audio clip of that.
All right, go ahead and find it.
I didn't find it. Wow, you're the one making the accusation. You find it.
Before their recent loss to Central Connecticut State, they only had two losses at home. Now they're 9-3. But kind of a, you know, what you see in the NEC is most teams win at home. Most teams lose away. You look, even the top three teams, St. Francis, you, Robert Morris, and Fairleigh Dickinson are all 4-9 away from home. But anyways, let's talk about the Rett Center, Loden. What do you think of the Colonials playing in the Rett Center this year, opposed to last year when they did not?
I mean, do I think it's an improvement as opposed to the UP? I was going to say UPMC Event Center, as to opposed downtown. I do. Now, we talked about before the show. Do I think that they should put playoff games there? I do not. I think they should play at Palumbo. And there's a couple of reasons for why. For one, and this, I will save this one because I want to surprise you with you. But for another one, and I know you're going to say this, they want to sell more tickets. You can sell more tickets in a larger stadium, in a larger arena. That only makes sense. Now, should they go back to Console Energy Center? Or PPG Paints,
that
I'm still calling it Console Energy.
That would
no,
be the worst idea
no, they
the
shouldn't. Should they play at a place that's, you know, bigger, still three times the size of the Rec Center at Palumbo? Yes, I do, because I think they'll sell more than 1,000 tickets and to be worth the trip than for tournament games. But of course, the bigger reason that I said I was going to save, the bigger reason is there are the logistics of broadcasting an ESPN game in the Rec Center, a place that wasn't built to broadcast those games, are basically impossible. You cannot broadcast an ESPN game there. There are not enough. It is logistically almost impossible to do it. So if you're gonna get to the championship game when your ESPN is gonna come down, ESPN's not gonna want to broadcast there, and that's a much bigger issue. You have to bend it so that the TV can go. Now again, I don't know. This is just what I'm assuming. This isn't has anything that I've been told on the record or anything like that. But you cannot. I know they've done ESPN3, but for an ESPN2 game, ESPNU game, there is not enough room in the Rec Center, and there's not enough places to put all the equipment for them to broadcast.
Well, I think we're jumping the gun here a little bit. I mean, we're not even first. The Colonials aren't even in first place.
Yes,
right
now they're still holding a home playoff. So I don't think we're jumping the gun that much.
All the games, in order to have the ESPN game, it needs to be the championship game that you're hosting. Maybe the Colonials would get that game. Who knows? But to argue about that right now, maybe in a few weeks down the line, we could talk about that more. But let me ask you, Temple, real quick. So you've been here all 4 years, and you were here for the Soul Center. As long as that stint in PPG Paint / Palumbo, what do you think of the Rett Center this year? Let's just say compared to the Soul Center a few years ago.
Oh, it's so much better than the Soul Center. Soul Center was old, kind of gross wood bleachers, you know. Rec Center, it's small, but the environment there is way better.
Aren't there wood bleachers in the Rec Center?
No, they're no. like that weird plastic thing. We don't know what they're called. No. I don't know.
I'm always on the sideline covering the game. I don't know if it's
at this point. I say
not.
They might as well just play in the rec center forever and only host Evanescence concerts in UPMC events.
For those that aren't aware, Evanescence is going to be playing a concert the day after commencement on May 12th. Is that the date?
Yes.
May 12th, yes. Evanescence will be hosting the first concert guys, in the UPMC event.
Are you guys planning on going?
I plan on it.
Yeah, I would not miss that for the world.
Seriously, I've been waiting 4 years for a concert, and they're going to give me it one day after my graduation. You know I'm going to be there.
Well, guys, any parting thoughts as we have to end this show a little bit early? Kartik, I'll start with you. Any
Let's. You know, we have on our agenda right here, and we just had to cover it real quick. So Malik Petaway, you know, we know and love him. You know, great player this year. Great, you know, forward. He's gotten a lot better over the last year. But he does this thing on Twitter where it's called Thoughts with Malik. And I forget, what
Deep
was the
thoughts.
One today?
It was cheese is just milk or something like that.
Oh,
cheese
yeah,
is
cheese
just
is
old.
Just a loaf of milk.
Yeah, cheese is just
and,
a loaf of milk.
I mean, like I said, I don't know if Malik's the one thinking of these quotes or they're telling him to say them. But, I mean, I applaud you, Malik. You know, that's a
I
good
love
thing
it.
To think about.
I love it. I think it's hysterical. I love it.
I think they need to get Tool doing that. That'd be a good one.
I don't think I can imagine Tool saying something like that, though.
No, definitely not.
here's my question is, how do they go about setting it up? So, like, who thought that, you know, if we have Malik say these dumb but deep thoughts, that this would be a great promotion? I love the I love the Twitter thing. Don't get me wrong. But, like, is this something that Malik would say in practices before or with the team? You know, and then that's why they decided, okay, Malik, we're going to start filming you saying this.
Yeah, like, and is he the one thinking of the actual quotes, or are they just giving him to say? Both of them are interesting.
All I know is it's awesome. Next time one of us covers a game, we'll have to confirm what they do with it.
We'll have to ask the SID.
We will.
Mr. Duzik. We'll have to ask him.
So thank you all for joining us tonight. Again, apologize for the quick episode. 6:15 on Wednesdays. We didn't go live tonight, but that will be our time slot for now on with the semester as we get into NEC playoffs. So thank you guys all for joining us, and we will see you next week, 6:15 Wednesday.
Let's go, Bobby Moe.